It's the Scotty Myers Show.
Hey, welcome to this week's edition of the show. Of course, I'm your host, Scotty Myers. And finally, my wife is back.
I decided to show my face.
Audibly.
Sound.
People were wondering where you were.
No one was wondering.
Listen, you were this close to getting on a milk carton.
Were they movers and shakers?
I don't know about movers or shakers, but they were folks.
I know you don't know about movers and shakers.
on the social medias, they were wondering.
Okay.
You know, so I think people are happy that you're back.
Thanks.
Yeah. So if you remember an earlier podcast that we did, we were talking about what we gave our nephews for Christmas. And I thought this was a brilliant plan to actually get out of gifts, is that we gave them these experience coupons.
Yeah, but when you really think about the experience coupons, could add up more cash-wise than just a, hey, here's $20, go get some candy.
Yeah, and we put like fun ones, like little fun ones in there, like a free flight for me. Like I can pick, they're young. I can pick them up and fly them around like Superman. And of course, they all cash those in right away. Like first night, like I worked out that day, but I didn't have to.
Right.
Flying children around a house for hours on end.
And then there was other ones like two in each pack of come over and we'll hang out together and we'll do some crafts or watch a movie. And then you think, oh man, that can really be pricey because then you have to get snacks and
crafts.
Candy and craft supplies. It can be a lot.
Yeah. So we threw those ones in there and listen, love my nephews. Okay. But those ones were the ones that were like crossing my fingers going, forget these things exist. You got real toys for Christmas.
Yeah.
Well, one of them fucking remembered.
The bastard.
And the youngest, too, which is the craziest thing. He remembered that he could come make crafts with you. And this is partly your doing because you
I was drunk that night.
Yeah. And you were like, yeah, sure. We can make a shoebox theater.
He wanted to make a shoebox puppet show theater from Aladdin. He got this like Disney craft book for Christmas. And he and I were looking through it on New Year's Eve. So, yeah, I was drunk. And, yes, I said, come on over sometime and make it.
And he literally remembered, took you up on that. And so this past weekend, we had him over for arts and crafts.
It was fun.
Oh, I'm not saying it wasn't fun.
It wasn't as messy as I thought it was going to be. Plus, there was glitter involved.
The glitter scared me. Like, the look on your face at one point when I was cleaning up and I picked up a box lid, yeah. You were like, Jesus, that has glitter.
I hate glitter. I like how it looks. I just don't like the aftermath of glitter.
Well, because it never goes away.
No.
It never goes away. No. But it wasn't, you're right, it wasn't bad. The cleanup wasn't terrible, anything like that. The thing was, and even his mom kind of called it when she picked him up, of like, so who made the, right. You know, the shoebox theater? And I was embarrassed to say we did most of it.
I did most of the work because, like, what is he, five? He walks off. He wanders off. He wants to watch. We had Aladdin playing in the background, and he'd never seen the cartoon version.
No, he was like, I like the real one. It's better. And I almost biffed him off the deck. I was like, no. Nothing against Will Smith. Will Smith ain't no Robin Williams. Sorry.
Well, then, so it was distracting for him, which is fine. And, you know, and then he'd walk into our bedroom and start looking for things and asking questions about things and touching things. And we are childless and we don't have toys. And all of our toy-like things are do not touch.
Well, that I had damn near heart failure because I came in here into the office recording studio area where I have my Funkos. And they have Funkos, but theirs are open.
Yes.
So he came in here and he's looking at all my Funkos, which are still in their boxes. And he's like, why aren't your Funkos open? And he's like reaching for one. And I'm like, no. They do not. They stay closed. And he's like, why? And I'm like, because they're easy to look at that way. It's like trying to explain to him as to why I don't open them.
Someday they'll be worth money. No, they won't.
They're
probably going to devalue, actually.
But I just find them easier, actually, to display and easier to clean that way. Because it's easier
less dust.
Yeah.
Crevices. Or when we were done the craft and the movie, and he decided to play with my makeup. And it reminded me, and I don't mind, but, you know, you get a toddler's finger in your eye shadows, and then he goes from, like, brown to pink. And then you're like, do not put that finger in the light colors, like the beiges and the whites, because it'll be ruined forever. And he's smashing the makeup brushes in my blush and putting it on his face, and, you know, there's powder everywhere.
All and, stuff kids do.
Yeah, and I just, it reminds me of when I was young and like that age, and you'd go over to your grandparents' house for a visit, and my dad's parents had zero toys, zero interest in children, even in their own. And so when we would go there, it was like, let's go play in my grandmother's shoes. And you try on her clothes and, yeah, walk around in her high heels. I don't think I ever played with her makeup, but...
See, for me, when we would go visit, like, my grandmother lived with us, so I didn't have to go visit her. But, like, if we went to... I had relatives that lived, like, outside of the city. For us, like, I'm, like, a little city boy. When I went out to visit them, it was like, oh, go play with your, you know, nephew. I think they were my nephew, cousins, whatever. Mm-hmm. Cousins. And then it was like, let's go kill animals. I was like, no! Dear God, take me back to the city.
I'll wear makeup. I'll put on heels. I don't care. That
what do you need me to fun. Do? What you, just, I really don't want to go shoot a rabbit. Like, there was one time I was like, oh, we're going to go check my snares. Like,
yeah.
I was like, no, this isn't
for me. Some kids are into some for me. Things.
It's just different worlds, right? Like, I mean, if that's just not for me, it's cool for them. They ate the rabbits. They made rabbit stew and all that. They good for them, just not for me. But as a child, I still remember going like, no, that seems wrong. Like, it catches its foot and then it stays there until you come and kill it. Like,
something
else kills it. That's
When society crumbles, Scott, you'll be knocking on their door begging for rabbit feet stew.
Oh, they are way more prepared for the apocalypse than I am. But that's no question. When the apocalypse comes, I'm breaking into the grocery store and staying there for the rest of my life.
Speaking of cum.
Segway of champions.
I read this interesting article. Apparently, it's been circulating online that dentists get asked all the time, can you tell if someone gave a blowjob?
Yeah, their teeth are in between the gaps. It's filled with white stuff, like caulking,
crust.
Literally.
Yeah, that's what happens. And dentists can tell. They can tell if you've given a blowjob. Usually it's within a day or two of your dentist visit. So basically there's at the top of your mouth, the palate.
Okay.
It's a soft palate called the petechiae. Petechiae. That's why I'm not a dentist. And it gets bruised from the action of throbbing penis and mouth.
Wait,
over
the roof?
And over
wait,
again.
Wait. The roof of your mouth gets bruised.
Yeah, like
from
the
that?
Ceiling of your mouth. There's a palate up there.
Yeah, but shouldn't it be going backwards, not up? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's the roof of your mouth. So I'm just thinking physics here, right? It should be going in and back, not in and
not
up.
Not everyone is deep throat compatible. Okay. Scott. All right.
Most of the videos I've seen, it appears more in and back,
but,
is
know,
all I'm
when
saying.
You're doing the bobbing up and down, things happen. It goes to the side or to the top or down. You know, there's a lot of action and motion. Basically, dentists say we can tell, but unless the patient's really young or there's like signs of abuse, they don't care. So they're trying to tell people like, hey, we can tell and we might giggle later at night to how many people we saw that day with a bruised palate. But generally they don't care.
Listen.
So don't be like nervous, Scott, next time you go to the dentist.
I'm fine. But I'm telling you right now.
It was a lollipop, I swear.
It was a big banana and it wasn't ripe.
I've been addicted to popsicles.
I had to bite down on it. I'll tell you right now, because I am a fella and most of us are pigs, those dentists, like, they're telling each other big time. Like the lunchroom at the dental office, if it's like 3-4 male dentists in there, they're all sitting there going, hey, you know that hot blonde that came in? Guess what she was doing the other
day? Why is it a hot blonde?
I don't know. Okay, that fiery redhead, the smoking brunette. I don't know. Pick your hair color.
Only hot girls give blowjobs. No.
But I think those are the ones that, you know, the guys would probably...
Guys who drive Mercedes and look in people's mouths care about?
Gossip about more.
I don't know if eventually, especially in the medical field, I mean, you see things all the time. I mean, you must see some, like, crazy stuff. And I think maybe after a while, you just get desensitized to it.
Probably. Or,
you know, where it doesn't matter anymore. Like, your dentist... coworker is like seeing the same thing too, so does it really matter?
Yes, because here's the thing, at heart, every man, no matter how old we get, are 12 years old deep down in our core. That's why, like, if I was a woman, there is no way I would have a male gynecologist.
We don't really have gynecologists for the most part. We get our general practitioner,
right?
And that's the one who gives you a pap test unless there's something really wrong or you need a more professional, you know, a person that's going to focus on the vagina. And we have a male doctor right now, and he told me
he's got stubby little fingers.
Well, they don't
thick stubby little fingers.
They do put their fingers inside you, but doesn't that's not what they're looking for.
This is why I would not have a male gynecologist.
But he told me, like, hey, it looks like you're due for your pap test, so book that with a nurse, basically telling me I ain't doing it. And I don't blame him. I mean, I don't think I'd be comfortable if I were him. And then I don't think I would be comfortable because for me, I'm in my late 30s now, and I've never had a male doctor examine me.
And you won't as long as you're mine. No, I'm joking. But that's my thing. I think guys deep at heart, no matter how professional they are in the room at the time, all of us deep down are immature little children. We're all Beavis and Butthead. And so get two of us together and it becomes, and it be, you know, like, guess what I saw today? And that, you know, and I think even if you're a doctor, I think that part is still there in you. I think you cannot get rid of it. It is part of the male psyche. And so there's no way these dentists aren't laughing and joking and probably even placing bets on it. Like, if one girl consistently is coming in with...
Why is it a girl with you?
I'm just talking... Okay, one customer, one patient continually coming in. Because I'm just thinking about my situation, right?
You have a situation?
I have a situation. I have a lady that, you know... So one patient that constantly comes in with that... I wouldn't be... The dentist might be like, patient BJ is coming in next week. Who wants to place a bet that they're bruised again?
I heard a theory once about going back to gynecologists. I heard a theory, and I've never tested it out, that a female doctor performing a pap test examination is more rough and, like, straight to the point. It's all business rather than a male doctor, because a female doctor knows what it feels like, what hurts and what doesn't, whereas a male doctor might be a little more cautious, maybe not sure what it feels like. They don't want to make the female uncomfortable. And then there maybe is underlying fear of
litigation.
What happens? Because there is insertion of the fingers.
Yeah.
Where they press down the abdomen while they're basically fingering you. But they're looking, it's not sexual. They're looking for how it feels up there. Does everything feel normal? But it is very awkward, even with a female. You know, we're laying on our back staring at a ceiling. One doctor I had one of those cat posters on the ceiling, like a hang in there, babies. Those are so weird. Okay, appreciated. And, you know, she'd be like, oh my gosh, it's so cold out today. And what'd you guys do on the weekend? Like, your fingers are inside of me.
When you're knuckle deep, it's not the time for small talk.
It's very weird.
Like, that's just
examining breasts, like, right? Just like a routine breast exam, and you're laying on your back, and so they're right in your face, tits out. And again, they've seen it all, but there's still that awkward small talk of, oh yeah, did you see that new Julia Roberts movie? Is that why your nipples are getting hard?
Yeah, no, that's not the time for small. Like, I haven't had it done yet.
A pap test?
The pap test I have not done. No, but I haven't had the male version, the prostate.
Right.
Yet.
Well, you know what? I don't think you should call it the male version.
Okay, well,
because you get a finger in your butt, but do you also get a speculum in your butt?
I don't know what a speculum
is. I know
is.
You don't know what that is.
It sounds speculatory.
I'll show you a picture later. It basically looks like an old Star Trek laser gun.
Ooh.
That's completely clear plastic or solid metal, like silver cold metal. And it's shaped like a duck's bill and it has a handle. And like a gun, and they shove it in you, and then they open it. So it opens like a duck's mouth, and basically you just tell them, like, if it hurts. So they're going to open it as wide as they can, and then they take a long-ass Q-tip, and they shove it in the speculum while you're gaping wide open, and they take a little sample, and then they take a big-ass long wire bristle brush. Well, it's plastic, but it's wire.
What, are they cleaning the toilet? Like, what's going on?
They take
there?
A bristle that you would use to, like, wash a water bottle, and they put that in. And you can feel that.
Oh, I'm sure you can.
It's like, you know when you take something sharper, like your bristle brush brushes inside your gums, and mm-hmm. you can feel that sensation? But you feel it deep inside of you in your vagina. Doesn't feel the same. It feels like someone's, like, echoing, hello. And okay, then they're basically like, okay, now I'm going to take it out and we'll call you if we see anything weird.
I would be like, I just saw something
put
weird.
Put your pants back on and get out of here.
You stuck a brush on me. I just saw something weird. Okay, so, okay, not the male version.
Or how about when you're, you know, pantsless, sometimes topless, if they're doing that examination, you're on your back. They tell you to, like, get on your back and put your legs in the stirrups at the end of the table. And so you're on that weird paper plastic covering. You got your legs spread open. Your labia is spreading open slowly. You have a light flashing directly into your pubic area. And then the doctor looks in and goes, can you move closer? A little closer, scoot your butt closer. And so now your anus is wide open because you're smushing your butt and you're trying to, and there's no dignity in being a woman. So I'm sorry, if you just have to scoot, bend over a little bit while a doctor just sticks a nice lubed up finger up your butt, you guys are fine, okay?
Well, that's why, I mean, yes, I do feel terrible now for calling it the male version.
And another thing.
Oh, dear God. But it is also why I've taken notice of how his short, stubby, thick fingers are. Because it's not that far down the road for me. Man, you guys have to go through a lot. You guys should get therapy just after each one of those. Because it sounds like an ordeal. Like, and I'm not saying that in a humorous way. It sounds terrifying.
There's a lot going on down there.
That is true.
It's not a fun ride. There's no, I always say there's no dignity in being a woman. And not to slam my gender, but we have to go through a lot of embarrassing things, like having a baby vaginally. Well, you might shit in front of everybody. Because they say when you're pushing the baby out, pretend you're having a bowel movement. Because it's
really?
The same muscles.
Oh, wow.
So what happens? You shit. You take a dump.
Ew.
And everyone can see you. And you poop on your baby.
Well, he might deserve, you know, the kid might deserve it. You know, it's hard to say, but wow. All right. I feel like I don't know where to go from here.
Dr. Natalie.
It's the most medical this show has ever been.
Yeah, so medical. I'm sure anyone with a medical background is like, please stop talking.
I want to move on to the off story of the week, but I feel like that was it.
Am I your off story?
I feel like you're, what is it, a pap test?
Yes.
I feel like that is an overfucking situation.
You should come in with me the next time I go for one.
No, I think I'm good. I'll go have an apple somewhere.
You can see the array of tools that are laid out, the weird crinkly tube of lube that was used for every person before you and will be used for every person after you, and the speculum and the different sizes of speculum and the friggin' bristle brushes and Q-tips and the little, you know, those little like specimen slides.
Mm-hmm.
They put those there.
It sounds like you're walking onto the set of a Saw film.
Could be.
I want to play a game.
Once your legs are in those stirrups, you have no idea what's going on under there.
So, okay, let's move on to the off story because I'm very concerned now. This one, of course, the headline, when you see the headline, it just makes you say, oh, for fuck's sakes. And there's been multiple headlines about this story in this past week. The big one that I saw initially was woman runs out of hair gel and uses Gorilla Glue,
mm-hmm.
which right away you're like, oh, for fuck's sakes.
Right.
Since that initial headline, the story has evolved because now she's like potentially suing Gorilla Glue.
Yeah, it's like every day there was a different...
And they did a GoFundMe for her. Yeah. Like, there's a lot to unpack here. But first off, how? How do you run out of hair gel and look at Gorilla Glue, which has ads of like, we put together a lawnmower with this.
Right.
And you go, oh, that'll be fine.
So she was doing her hair and in a low ponytail. So she wanted to make the top of her hair, you know, smooth it down, make sure there's no like flyaways and make it look nice and sleek and good. So she ran out of her hairspray, which is made by Got2B. It's a special hairspray that is kind of a glue. Women who wear wigs mm-hmm. to glue down their wigs will use this particular Got2B glue.
Okay.
It's good, or glue, like hairspray. It is called a glue. Like, they jokingly call it glue.
Okay.
So it is... I can see how someone who may not be a reader could...
Saw glue and glue?
Saw glue and glue. I don't know. And maybe just thought, hey, how bad could it be? Now, when she held up the can of the Gorilla Glue spray, you could hear a marble in it like it was a can of spray paint. That would be the first indication for me of this shit isn't fucking around.
Right. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, to me, it would be... Now, I mean, maybe she's never seen the commercials, but to me, it's the commercials. Like, their commercials right. basically say, we can put a fucking house together with this.
Yes. So, maybe not the best thing to be using. So basically, she used it. A month later, she came out and said, okay, I've washed my hair, like, 15 times. She was kind of trying to rough up her scalp, and it is just like not moving. You know, Jeez. She has long nails and she just can't even get her nails into her hair. So Gorilla Glue basically came out and said they feel terrible. They feel sorry for her, but they're really not taking responsibility. They just say, like, they admitted, although our product warning labels say do not use on hair, it does say do not use on skin or make contact with the eyes. And then in addition to that, they said, we also say it's to be used for wood, laminate, stone, glass. I mean, like, hard surfaces. Basically, like, shit, we didn't put hair on here, but come on.
Right.
Your hair is attached to your skin, you know. So people are saying that Gorilla Glue should step up and help her. She had a GoFundMe page set up where... her goal was $1,500. She's well over that into like $15,000 now. I mean, people are rallying together to help her.
Okay, here's my questions right away before we go any further. The GoFundMe thing. Why?
So her initial goal was to raise money to help her with basically medical costs, because it's in the States, nothing's yeah. covered, to help remove the glue from her hair. She went to the hospital. The only thing they could do was give her like alcohol wipes, which burned her scalp. Okay, so now she, and then people found the GoFundMe, they found her story, so now they're just trying to help her with anything else they can do. One woman, I watched her reaction video, she's a hairstylist, she said she's gonna have to just let her hair grow out if it can and shave her head. She's just gonna have to buzz her hair.
It could be stuck under a Gorilla Glue helmet.
Yeah,
and like then it might never grow.
And then Gorilla Glue said if it's been a month, it might be in her hair follicle, like under the skin. So who knows? Can her hair even grow? And what would happen? Like, how does, if your hair can't grow, it's got to go somewhere. I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen. I feel terrible for her.
Here's the thing. I do feel for her. There's a little tiny part of me that thinks this might have been done on purpose. But I'm sorry. There's a cynical side of me that thinks this was done to get money.
I don't know. You can see it. If you watch the videos, you
which
can
I have
see
not, so.
Her. There's despair. There's a bit of like, like she's been dealing with this for a month and she's like, I need help.
So well, now help. She does. But maybe when she did it initially, she thought, oh, this will be now I'll be able to wash the glue out, but I'll be able to complain to Gorilla Glue and get some money. Because... like, that's the thing. Okay, so now she's got a GoFundMe, which first off, like when you told me, oh, she's got a GoFundMe, I was like, what, for a fucking haircut? Like, that's $30. Like, why does she have $10,000, $15,000 in a GoFundMe?
She can't move her hair.
You know, so, okay, so she's got this GoFundMe where people feel terrible for her, and I do feel bad for her because it is
but you're not going to throw her $5.
I'm not giving her shit.
Canadian.
Canadian. You know, like, And then, like, people saying, oh, Gorilla Glue's not doing enough. Well, what else can they do? They've labeled their product. Yes, it did not say hair, but it said skin. What is under your hair? Skin. It is not a big enough barrier that I can be like, well, I can put it on hair, not skin. It's never going to touch my skin through my hair.
Right.
You know? And they kind of said, like, sorry about your damn luck, but... You know, like this to me, when people are saying she should sue Gorilla Glue. Now, whether she does or not, it's a whole other story. But even when people are saying it, it's like, no, at some point, like responsibility has to fall on the individual at some point, not the makers of Gorilla Glue, which they can say is now the strongest hair gel on the planet. But, you know, like to me, it's just like, leave them alone. I'm sure someone in their corporate office will be like, let's figure out a way to give her something without going to court.
Yeah, maybe they'll do an out-of-court settlement. Last I heard, there were sources saying she is considering suing. Now, if you're her lawyer, you're going to say, you know, it's like Jackie Childs on Seinfeld. Well, like, they don't say, it doesn't say do not put on your hair. So there is a bit of, well, girl, look, come on, you didn't say hair. But at the same time, there's that common sense issue of there's warning labels about eye contact and exposure to skin. And then there's the, what is this product for?
Right.
It is for only this. So a lot of people would look at a label or see Gorilla Glue and you just know in your head, I'm not going to put this on my body.
First off, you don't buy hair products at Home Depot. That's where you get Gorilla Glue.
By accident.
Like, you know,
it's by the hairspray. Who would have thought?
Yeah, you know, it's like you're not walking down aisle. Okay, paint, power tools. Oh, shampoo, conditioner, gel. Perfect.
Oh, mascara, too.
Yeah, this is great. Oh, what's this, you know, Dulux paint? That's perfect for my eyes.
Sandpaper, exfoliant.
Yeah. You know, this is a whole untapped market for Home Depot. Yeah, I mean, you're right. It doesn't technically say hair, but I mean, to me, this harkens back to the lawsuits that, if she does go down to a lawsuit, that we all made fun of the people suing because the coffee's too hot.
Well,
you knew it was hot.
I burned myself because I was driving while drinking hot coffee and using my knees to turn the wheel.
Yeah, and you knew you knew in your heart of hearts as you were putting this on your hair, this was not for hair.
Yeah.
You know, she knew. She was hoping it was going to work. But she knew.
Yeah.
And if I was the Gorilla Glue lawyer and it went to court, I would just say, Your Honor, or ladies and gentlemen of the jury, I know this person has gone through great trauma right now, but on the bright side, she never has to pay for another haircut. She never has to pay for any more hair care products.
Her hair does look good.
We have saved her thousands over the course of her lifetime.
But it's the distressing part of, it's your hair, and... I'm sure men are the same way, that your hair is your identity in a lot of ways, at least for women. I can speak for women. And when you start going through something like that, or, you know, like hair loss, or you got a bad haircut, or you gave yourself COVID bangs, like something gets messed up and you do feel uglier and you feel like you're not valued, that you have no more value, because your hair is like the first thing people see, right?
True.
It's right there. So for her, it's, you know, she gave it a month of secret anguish and was probably just like, I need help. I need people to help me. I need to tell people, don't do what I just did. And she probably just cries herself to sleep every night because she's got a helmet head. And I think Gorilla Glue should, I don't think she should sue them, and I don't think they should settle out of court. I think they should reach out to her and say, we'll help you with something. Like, we're here for you. We'll help you. We're sorry. But then does that create a expectation of that company or other companies of, well, yeah, I drank your coffee and it was too hot and I burnt my lip and you need to help me now.
Right.
Because it's your fault.
The only thing I can think, and I agree with you, I think the only reason why I think Gorilla Glue should be able to step up and help her in some way, shape, or form, and not monetarily, is there has to be, like, for lack of a better word, an antidote. Like, in the Gorilla Glue factory, they have to have something that loosens Gorilla Glue. Because if they spill it in the factory and there's nothing to loosen it, they're fucked.
I think it's our doctor's stubby fingers.
Like, you know, some poor schmo standing there on the assembly line drops a vial of it. He's stuck there for life because there's nothing that can loosen Gorilla Glue. There has to
be some... Talk about the overtime.
There has to be something that they're holding back in some vault somewhere. They go, this is the secret formula. And I'm willing to bet if she's that upset, if they were like, listen, we could put it on your head, but your hair's going to fall out, I think she'd probably take it at this point.
It's acetone. Acetone removes glue.
Right.
Right. Like, if your fingers are stuck together, they're going to use like a potent alcohol or acetone to get rid of it. It dries your skin out. It might burn your skin, but, you know, it's like a Sharpie. It's permanent. It's, you can live with it for a couple days. Maybe you've got just some on your knuckle from a craft. Okay. It's not washing off, but eventually my skin's going to regenerate and grow new cells. I'm going to sweat. It's going to get washed off from taking showers or washing your hands. But on your hair? And then if Gorilla Glue's right saying that it's in her follicles, I mean, what? I don't think any... And she's tried acetone and that, and it's not doing anything.
Well, that's why there's a secret vat of stuff, and what, she's got to snorkel up and dive into this secret vat and let it seep into her follicles and... Either it's going to loosen it and she's going to be free, or it's just going to fall out. Maybe she has to start over at ground zero.
Man, I'd love to start over sometimes.
But that's what you get when you spackle industrial glue on your head.
I feel so terrible for her.
As opposed to just going, maybe I should run down to the corner store and get some more of that got-to-be stuff. That seemed to be working just fine.
Oh my God.
Offs. On to the geek news of the week. And I start with a story that I enjoy greatly because I'm a big, big fan of this movie. But Birds of Prey has been shortlisted for 2 Oscars. Yes, Birds of Prey could be walking home with Oscar hardware. Now, it's only in the makeup and hairstyling and visual effects categories. But still, it is shortlisted. No guarantee it'll be officially nominated, but it's a good start for the Birds of Prey. As we roll closer and closer to March 18th and the release of Zack Snyder's Justice League, Zack continues to tease us on social media. He released 2 new Joker pictures of Jared Leto's Joker in the Justice League cut that he's working on. And the internet went batshit fucking nuts. And rightfully so, because they are 2 amazing pictures. Like, there's just a really cool mood surrounding that. And I'm anxious to see Jared Leto's Joker in Zack Snyder's Justice League. And I can give you a little spoiler here. They kind of broke down a little bit of at least one scene between Batman and the Joker in the movie. And it's really just a conversation. And it's almost Joker analyzing Batman, which has happened a few times in the comics. It has always kind of a cool little juxtaposition of the characters when Joker does that. So apparently that's what we're going to see when We see Zack Snyder's Justice League come out March 18th. Still counting down the days to that. And we get a new trailer on Valentine's Day. So keep your eyes and ears open for that. And keep your eyes and ears on the Scotty Mars Show social media pages. The Scotty Mars Show on Facebook, at Scotty Mars on Twitter. As soon as that trailer is up and available, I will have it up there as well. So you guys can check it out. Speaking of trailers, Falcon and Winter Soldier dropped their first official trailer. We had that kind of first look video footage, but this was the first trailer. And it was released during the Super Bowl. And it has quickly set a record. 125 million views in the first 24 hours after it was posted online. That beats Black Widow's record from last year and tops all of the Marvel movies very, very easily. I gotta say, the preview looked good. This was one of the Marvel series I was anticipating, and that first trailer definitely set it up really well. My only issue with the trailer, same issue I got with a lot of Marvel stuff, is just the shoehorning of jokes. Can we not everything has to have jokes shoehorned into it. Jesus. Continuing with Marvel news, Tom Holland was doing some interviews, and of course, Spider-Man 3 came up, and he shot down the rumors that Tobey Maguire and Andrew Garfield were showing up in Spider-Man 3. You know, of course, the rumors have been flying out there that not only, you know, Tobey Maguire and Andrew Garfield were coming back, but that Jamie Foxx's Electro was coming back, and there was a lot of talk that Willem Dafoe's Goblin may be returning, and they were going to basically do a live-action Spider-Verse deal. And, you know, Tom Holland basically just shot that right down. Like, shot it down to zero, which was surprising because it seemed to be all accepted for fact that that was the movie we were getting. Now, a lot of people online are just saying he was saying that they weren't. He's just trying to debunk the rumors and keep some surprises for fans. But I think the best way to do that is to just say no comment and not, you know, totally shoot down the rumors because, you know, people want to see this Spider-Verse film. I'm excited for it. Like, I think it's a great idea. Obviously, DC is doing their multiverse thing coming up with the Flash movie. So if Spider-Man can do it with the Spider-Verse, great. I mean, Doctor Strange is going to, you know, the multiverse of madness or whatever. So it's definitely where all these franchises are going, are to the multiverses. And, you know, again, a little disappointing that that's the role he took when trying to talk about the new Spider-Man film. And we will kind of talk a little bit here, a couple of things we want to wrap up on. First, we're going to talk about WandaVision. And the last episode of WandaVision had a nice little surprise in there. I won't spoil it if you haven't watched it yet, but I'm hoping that wasn't the surprise that we were talking about a couple of weeks ago on the show where Elizabeth Olsen said that it had a Luke Skywalker level surprise. Because if that's what she was talking about, definitely not Luke Skywalker level. It was a nice little surprise. It wasn't terrible, but, you know, not Luke Skywalker level. And I'm still not sure about this show. I watch it every week. I am curious to see where it's going, but I'm also not thoroughly enjoying it every week. I guess it's like I want to get to the destination, but I'm not 100% enjoying the ride. Every now and then I get something out of it, but overall, I just want to see where it goes. Because I know it's leading up to that Doctor Strange movie. So that's kind of one of the bigger things I'm looking for there. And the other story that we wanted to keep an eye on kind of ties into DC a little bit. But Charisma Carpenter, who obviously was on Buffy the Vampire Slayer TV show as well as the Angel spinoff. There have been a lot of stories about Joss Whedon's attitude and the way he conducted himself on the set of Justice League, so much so that Ray Fisher had come out. There was an internal investigation, you know, and there was definitely some things done at Warner Brothers. I don't know that enough was done. I think Ray Fisher still owed at least an apology by some of the executives there. But Charisma Carpenter came out and basically said that Joss Whedon was fairly abusive on the set of Buffy the Vampire Slayer, and some of the other stars of the show have come out in support. Amber Benson, who played the recurring character Tara McClay on Buffy, she praised the actress for speaking her truth. She also said Buffy was a toxic environment and it starts at the top. Charisma is speaking truth and I support her 100%. There was a lot of damage done during that time and many of us are still processing it 20 years later. And Sarah Michelle Gellar, of course, everybody would be like, well, what did Buffy have to say? She put out a post saying, while I'm proud to have my name associated with Buffy Summers, I don't want to be forever associated with the name Joss Whedon. I am more focused on raising my family and surviving a pandemic currently, so I will not be making any further statements at this time, but I stand with all survivors of abuse and I'm proud of them for speaking out. So obviously, there were things going on during the Buffy days that must have continued throughout Joss Whedon's career, and all these things are just coming to life, to light now. You know, again, for Buffy, it was 20 plus years ago that they were filming this show, and they're just getting to speak out about it now. I would say you take the situation with what happened on Justice League, and now you have this coming out from the Buffy set. It's going to be a, you know, and I'm not saying I want to see him come back. I'm thinking it's a done deal for Joss Whedon. I would say, you know, he may as well just settle in and lock the door, because I think the career is over. And, it, you know, these abuse stories seem to be validated by numerous people. And so that's the fate he deserves. Just put him out to pasture. He's done. That will do it for this week's edition of the show. Thanks so much for spending time with us this week. Continue to tell your friends, spread the word about the show. And don't forget, follow us on all the socials at Scotty Mars on Twitter, The Scotty Mars Show on Facebook and Instagram. And of course, you can always reach me via email at scottymarsmedia.com. And until we chat again, have a great week.